As I mentioned, today is November 11th. That means it's Remembrance Day. One day a year when we are called to remember all those who served in wartime to protect our freedom. Armed conflict is one of the oldest activities on earth. After all, there was murder committed between the third and fourth people mentioned in the Bible when Cain killed Abel. Nations and their armies have warred against each other since the beginning of time. So once a year, we as Canadians stop and remember those who served, and especially those who died in the defense of our way of life in this country. Poems and songs have been written about it and are sung and spoken at Remembrance Day services all over the world, lest we forget, as the saying goes. It's good that we do this, because real people suffered and died in wartime. Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and wives mourned and still mourn for those who never came home. And many who came home were mentally and emotionally damaged for the rest of their lives. War is a horrible thing, and it comes at an enormous cost. In the spiritual realm, there's also a great war being waged. Ever since Satan rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels with him, he was cast to this earth and he has been making war against God ever since. And his warfare is against everything that God does and is and has done on our behalf. Satan targets God's people and he influences his followers to make war against God's followers everywhere he can. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Bible's Hall of Fame chapter, where there's mention of the great faith heroes of the past. But at the end, starting in verse 36 and on, it mentions those who gave all they had, and some even gave their lives for the gospel. They never conquered the enemy in this life, but paid dearly for their faith. And at first reading, you might think, well, they were kind of like, they lost. They didn't make it. They died. Well, let's read Hebrews 11, 36 to 39, where it says, "Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." Persecution. Persecution of Christians has been going on ever since Jesus ascended into heaven. From the stoning of Stephen, as told in the book of Acts, till the present time, Christians all over the world have been paying a great price for their faith and for sharing their faith with others. From the beginning of the church in Jerusalem, through Asia Minor, through Europe to Rome and all around the world, wherever the gospel was preached and Christians were established, persecution followed close behind. When the Protestant Reformation took place in the 16th century, Christians were persecuted by those who also thought they were Christians. There were more Christians martyred in the 20th century than in any other century in history. The Apostle Paul spoke of his own persecutions in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. Turn there with me if you want. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. This is Paul speaking. "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Sounds like a fun time, eh? Paul's story can be compared to thousands of Christians all over the world because there are thousands of stories of horror. Canada and its laws was founded on the Ten Commandments and Christian principles, and we have had great freedom in our faith from the beginning of this country. But Canada has become a secular nation, and the attitude in our nation toward Christians and the gospel is changing quickly. We may find ourselves in the throes of persecution sooner than we would like to think. So what should we do? One of the greatest ministries in the whole world is the ministry of prayer. Pray for those who are persecuted. You can research that. You can research who's being persecuted. One good place to go would be to an outfit called Voice of the Martyrs. They deal with people who are under persecution. Pray for spiritual leaders all over the world, that they would hold fast in the faith. Pray for those who persecute believers, that they could be released from Satan's grips and become believers. Pray for national governments, especially ours, that they would become obedient to God's will. Pray for churches everywhere, especially this one, that they would hold fast to God's word and believe it and not distort it. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." That's what we need to do as well as praying. Stand fast in the faith. Believe the Bible. We need to live out our faith and not shrink back from being witnesses to God, of God's grace and mercy. And a funny thing about persecution and persecution of the church is that when the church is persecuted, it grows faster than at any other time. That's an amazing thing. It's good that we remember those who we lost in wars. It is even better to remember those who gave their lives for the faith and the gospel. And we should pray for those today who are going through the fiery trial of persecution. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. This is what Paul said at the end of his life and at the end of his ministry. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing."